How do we make and multiply disciples around the block and around the world? Special guests, co-laborers from around the United States and around the world sit down with the More Disciples team to explore how believers can come together to make more disciples. Welcome to the More Disciples podcast.
This is a season 3 More Disciples podcast, and I'm your host, Dori Yuen from Channel Church, San Francisco. We have John Herma, Big Life, Doug Lucas, Team Expansion, Leewood, L1A Church,
hey, everybody.
Fort Myers, and today our guest is here with us.
How about that?
So excited.
In the studio.
Yeah, In the studio. So Dan Hitchhuisen.
Heitschhusen.
Heitschhusen. I'll let you introduce yourself and to talk to us about, like, what do you do?
Gosh. Well, I'm Dan Heitschhusen. I've been in vocational ministry about 38 years now. Worked in over 100 countries doing catalyzing church planting and evangelism, discipleship, and seeing God do amazing things. And I work now with Big Life and 2414 and a variety of ministries to advance God's kingdom so that we can see every man, woman, and child get a chance to know the gospel.
Wow, that's pretty cool having you on. I feel like I want you to sign my Bible now.
You know, Dan, one of the most important and one of the most significant things about you that I think our listeners, viewers would find interesting is the way you traveled with none other than Josh McDowell. Can you just say a word about that? Because I just find that interesting, and I think our viewers would too.
Yeah, I think today our topic is faith. Next level faith, what does it take? And so I thought about that, I thought about it in kind of the 4M and 1G. 4M, models, mentors, and then muscles, and then one great big God. And so
Amen.
Fortunately for me, I had the privilege early on in my life to work with Josh McDowell, travel. I think I did 300 cities in 20 countries and 5.5 years of ministry with Josh in my 20s. I got to know Bill Bright and some of the other titans of faith during that time. And I got to see these men of faith step out in faith, model that for me. And it was so important in my development.
Can't imagine what that's like traveling with Josh McDowell. I mean, did when he got up in the morning, was this like a machine that picked him up and put him in his pants? Because surely he didn't put his pants on like the rest of us.
Josh said the same thing to my Dan.
That's true.
Yeah, good to travel with them.
Yeah. Sure. We had a lot of fun for sure.
Sure. Dan, I guess for you trying to think about your role with finishing the task, you were kind of strategy advisor for them. That must have taken you some places to see a lot of different people engaged who hadn't had a chance to hear the gospel before. It's got to be a rewarding job.
Yes, being able to catalyze ministry amongst the least reached people have never ever heard the name of Jesus, to be able to see new disciples, new churches planted among these people over the last 5 years was phenomenal. We saw almost 1,700 people groups get engaged with first believers and first churches in just 5 years. So that was a phenomenal gift.
So Dan, I really like the topic that we're talking about because, like, you know, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. So over a lifetime, like all the cool things, and I even like the 3Ms and one giant, like all things are possible God. But can you like just tell, like sort of like starting at the beginning, we hosted Tony Dale on here on an episode that called From Then to Now. But this has been a lifetime of developing maturity and spiritual muscle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about sort of what that's been like so that like people that are on the journey of moving from faith to faith and having growing without faith, it's impossible to please God, and faith works by love. What's that been over a lifetime? Because you've seen and heard a lot. So that's a big question. But can you give some granular examples of what it is to move from faith to faith?
You know, I mentioned models and mentors, and Bill Bright was a great model and mentor for me. And he said, faith's like a muscle. The more that you use it, the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
And so at the very beginning, when you start working out, it, your muscles are pretty small and you can only lift so much weight. And so for me, my first recollection of like trusting God or hearing God's voice, I lost my pocket knife. I was like 10, 11 years old and I couldn't find it. It was in the yard. I've been throwing it. And I closed my eyes, said, Lord, you know where it is. Huh. And I just walked 5 steps this way, 2 steps that way, 3 steps that way, opened my eyes. And there was my pocket knife at my feet. And that was like first time I kind of, you know, I wasn't sure if that was real or not, but there was my pocket knife, right?
Couldn't argue with the results.
Yeah. And then I learned to share my faith and that was scary at first. And, you know, going out in the power of God and trusting him that he would give me the words to say. And then as you're sharing the gospel for the first time, God's given you the words to say that you're like, whoa, that wasn't me. That was, that was God. Mm-hmm. And that was a big step of faith. And then, I think stepping out and, you know, I got involved in a faith ministry where you raise your support and seeing God do that was amazing. And then it just kind of kept going. I started traveling to different countries and I watched Josh McDowell do these things and I watched his faith and I kind of held on to his faith and I saw him trust God for great faith. And I watched Bill Bright trust God with these giant conferences by faith and what he did. And then all of a sudden I was on my own and it was me and I had to step up. No longer was just carrying Josh's bags, if you will. And I'll never forget, I was in this place outside of Chimalhuacan, Mexico. It was a place, the home to 2 million people. It was a swamp and then it became the dump. Then it became Mexican, you know, in Mexico City. You could smell it 8 miles away.
Wow.
And I was in this place and sharing the gospel, people are coming to faith and then say, you're preaching tonight. I'm like, I'd never preached.
Wow.
And I made a beeline for John 3:16, you know, I didn't know what to do. And people came to faith and God spoke through me. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. And then it just, you know, and then as my faith muscle grew, it just kept growing from there. And, you know, I was working with Hamas terrorists and I worked in Iraq and I worked in India in a former headhunting tribe. And, you know, and you're just trusting God and you're seeing God come through and you're just, it's that faith muscle.
Wow.
Share a time when your faith was shattered and God put it back up again.
Good question.
Wow.
That never happened. Dan's got,
you know,
Teflon faith.
I was working in ministry and I got stabbed in the back by some ministry colleagues. And you know, sheep bite hurts less than wolf, or wolf
more
bite
more
hurts more than wolf bite. And you're getting the arrows in the back. And I was kind of depressed and I was getting married. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was feeling like a failure to a degree, you know, because I was being made to feel that way by some of the circumstances. And I was in La Jolla in California on top of these cliffs and I was praying and I read this book by Tim Hansel, You Got to Keep Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a poem there that said, there's no box made by man that God can't flatten out the sides, blow the top off and create a dance floor to celebrate life. And I realized I was wallowing in my own self-pity and that I wasn't trusting God by faith. And so literally I stood on this cliff in the middle of February and there's giant waves crashing on the cliff. And I took my shirt off and I did a swan dive into this, into the surf. And the hard part's not diving.
Can we run the video on this?
The hard part's not diving in the surf. It's getting back up before the next wave hits the cliff and knocks you off and takes you out to sea. And I dove off that cliff enough times. You can't anymore because it's illegal. But I dove off it enough where I knew where the handholds were. But it was definitely a faith step to dive in the water. And I realized that I had allowed my circumstances to suck the joy out of my life and that I wasn't trusting God. And that dive off the cliff was my affirmation of life. And somebody's probably going, and I literally said, I'm alive. And I dove into the surf. People looking on going, not for long, buddy.
What cliff was it again? What cliff? What place?
I'm in La Jolla.
La Jolla, okay.
I don't know where I heard the quote. It's not original, but I heard the statement or quote that a defeated Christian is someone whose problems or obstacles are bigger than their God. Mm. And so that sort of plays into one giant God inside of there, and that he builds muscles. What I hear you're saying is he builds muscles through the hard times, like where Paul says the fellowship. I want to know him. I want to experience the power of his resurrection, the fellowship, the intimacy of his suffering, being made conformable to his image. So I guess I'll piggyback on Dory's question is, how has suffering played a part in moving from faith to faith in your life? And I think that will be pertinent to viewers, because that's a constant. Like inside a movement, we say that we grow in four ways: through self-feeding, the word of God, prayer, and community, but also in hard times and suffering is how we mature. So how has that played out in the lifetime of adventure that you've had with God?
Wow. You know, it's just an ebb and flow of challenges that you have. And for me, it has to do with people. We're all broken, and we're trying to live in community, and we all sin, and in my own sin, I suffer. And when I've offended someone else, and when they've offended me, and when you're misunderstood. And I think that often, if you're a faith-filled person and you're stepping out in faith, you're going to get misunderstood. Hmm. You're going to get people that won't follow, that will, they don't like change. They're scared. And so when that happens, there's a lot of arrows that you take in that journey. And you come to yourself and you're like, am I really hearing God? Is this really you, Lord, as people are coming against whatever you're believing God for? And you might not be hearing God. I mean, that's an honest prayer. You need to pray that prayer and to know that prayer. And I think for me, when I started taking teams into places where they could be killed, the need to know that you are hearing God's voice and you're called, because God's entrusted these other lives to you. So it's one thing to be foolhardy for your own life, but it's another to take others into difficult places. And in cases, I just say, you need to know. Most of the time I'd say the Great Commission says, go. What about go? Don't you understand? In some circumstances, I want you to know for sure that you know for sure that God called you, that your family knows for sure that he called you, that you know from scripture and friends, and you can tell me that he called you to be on this trip, because you might not come back. And if that happens, you know, your relatives know that there was a calling. It was God who drew you, and that would happen. And so those are kind of, I don't know, that's a roundabout way of saying some things.
Dan, so piggyback on that. Take a leap of faith. I mean, first you hear from the Lord, and then you take this leap of faith. But with your experience and talking to ministry leaders everywhere, the busyness of ministry so many times keeps people from hearing from the Lord to take those leaps of faith. So what are those things that you have put in place for you to make sure that that doesn't happen?
That's a great question.
I wish that was a consistent things that I put in my life all the time. But I think that the main thing would be spending time with God, getting time away to seek the Lord. You know, one of the four M's I didn't mention was, what is your motive? Is it to glorify God, or is it to build your kingdom? Is it to glorify God, or to build yourself up, to make you better? And those are fine lines there sometimes. And you're working on your motive, and of course the enemy wants to get you to be proud And so you know, that those hard times are the humbling things that God does in our lives to help us to not be proud. And, I think, but one practice would be to surround yourself with faith-filled Christians, colleagues, friends, people that'll push you on so that there's this iron, on iron kind of thing. And, if your gift is faith, you need to be around others with the gift of faith, because there's a lot of people that are going to discourage you because, you know, faith is a, is seeing on the horizon what's not yet. It's believing God for something that's not yet. Yeah. It's seeing a country where there's no churches and there could be thousands. Mm-hmm. That's not yet. It's motivating others toward that not yet. There's a great God, and if we trust Him and we move in this direction, that this could happen. And you know what? There's a lot of people that will come against that. And I remember I was in this one crisis of faith. We were trusting God for a million multiplying churches by 2020. And at that point, we'd only seen maybe 15,000 churches in a year started. And this was an 8-year journey. Mm. And the Lord, through another colleague, Carol Davis, just encouraged me to trust God for something really big. And then I got our colleagues together, another one of my mentors, Paul Eshelman, and we came together with Curtis Sargent and others, and we prayed for 3 days, and we trusted God that He was telling us that we were going to do all we could in His power to plant a million churches that looked crazy. And so we signed our names to this document that we were going to somehow, in His power, plant a million multiplying churches. And we had just begun to see some movement started. It was just like little things, but He gave us enough faith to trust Him. And then along the way, maybe 3 years left before 2020, there were some that were doubting. And I had some conflict with some people over it and within our organization. And I remember one of GACX, Global Associate for Church Multiplication. I was with the board. I'm on the board there. One of the board members said to me, does anyone know the name of the other 8 spies that spied out the land? And he encouraged me to stay focused on it. And by faith, things came together. And I don't think it was the end of 2020. It was more like 2022 that the million church got planted. But God did remarkable things in our midst and in the kingdom in pursuing that passion.
You know, one scripture that's always stood out to me on this topic is Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom we believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like he calls into existence the Ooh. Stuff that nobody knew or believed yeah. in. But this wow. has been a recurring theme, Dan, in my life where I've tried to get people to do this and they come back with this line. Yeah, but if you can't do it right, you shouldn't try to do it at all. Hmm. And I always try to counter with, yeah, but let's don't let the excellent get in the way of the good. And this becomes sort of a battle. How do you wrestle with the people on your staff or in your church or in your group or in your class who try to pull you back and say, if we can't do this right, let's don't tackle it?
Well, I watched that happen to Josh McDowell hundreds of times, and his staff wanted him to just do it with excellent. Instead of doing 10 things, you know, 100 things, let's do 10 things really well. Mm-hmm. And I watched him push back on that. How do you do it? You persist, you love, you have grace, you have tenacity, you mm-hmm. have this belief that you believe that you believe that it's true, right? And I think the other scripture, we were in the elevator here with Lee praying for him, is the wisdom passage. And in James 1-5, yeah. just pray, James 1:5, praying for wisdom and believing that you have it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you try to listen to scripture, you try to listen to others, and then you seek the Lord, and then mm-hmm. you you step out and you believe that you have wisdom.
Yep. Mm.
And then you press into that wisdom because it says you have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's just that tenacity, that resolve to push forward anyway,
mm-hmm.
and be willing to fall on your face publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, some thoughts around that, thing is that, we pray for wisdom and then, faith, I'm not saying, it always, it doesn't always have feelings. Mm-hmm. Like feelings aren't faith. And, I'm not saying that like you can't have an awareness and experience mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit, but faith isn't always accompanied by feelings. And I learned from my mentor something about your question, Doug,
mm-hmm.
That is sort of the opposite. People like what strive for excellence, mm-hmm. you know, but, I stepped out into these things of, movement. From my household. And I remember this one. I remember a lot of things Curtis poured into me, but this one sticks out. So he said, anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly. And that's just the opposite of that is yeah. because if you've never done it before, okay, you're not going to be great at it. Like developmentally, like nobody was an excellent bicycle rider the first time that they got on a bike. And so all things like leaps of faith, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily going to be great at it to begin with. And so that perseverance that Dan talks about inside of those, being able to take the leap and to realize mm-hmm. like, hey, like, yeah, I'm not this great at this, but God,
yeah. yeah,
but God. Yeah. And so just to tell a funny story on myself, like the first 2 or 3 years of pursuing multiplying disciples, leaders, and churches in Tampa, and I'll throw the question to John. But our goal was actually on a yearly basis was we'd really just like to suck at this less yeah. next year. Like the goal was like what is your like with a SWOT analysis? You know, what's your goal? Could we just like suck at this less?
You know, we haven't excelled at that.
Yet. Yeah. But so I'll throw it to you because I met you like in 2015 in my living room, and I think that not only do individuals like we're talking about these leaps of faith, mm-hmm. But it involves others, the yeah. mentors, those, and so I'll throw it to you though, John, like inside of this, and it's a conversation, is I realized that at that juncture of like what it was, like it wasn't altogether that impressive, and not looking for any accolades from you, but like from that piece of how does everybody on here, how do you look at and hear basically what we've heard, hearing God and obeying him? How do we not just individually, but collectively, the body, not organizationally, but relationally. How do you hear and see and go, oh, like we're supposed to yoke with that guy and work with that guy? How does that work for you, John?
Yeah, I think that afternoon in your living room, which some days I still regret. but totally honest. No, but seriously.
I think you were serious.
Lee.
No, you were. I know he was.
We had never met. In fact, I didn't even know Lee was going to be there. We had arranged this meeting. And but hearing Lee's passion and his heart made it a no-brainer by the end of that afternoon. I mean, I was so convicted the Lord was saying, let's keep in step with the Lord by doing this together. Mm. And so it's been a unbelievable privilege. It was a leap of faith, but unbelievable privilege to be able to do so many things together with all you guys.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any better than that. I think that's what, you know, the greatest thing about ministry of the last several years is organizations coming together, not caring about their name.
Mm, amen.
But on top of that, Dan, I do have a question for you. I'm trying not to take too much time here, but I had a really good friend after Kathy and I got involved in ministry who asked us a question, like, what did you give up by taking a leap of faith?
Oh.
And I'll give you Kathy's answer because I was shocked at the time. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking retirement, security, everything. Yeah. And without hesitation, Kathy said relationships.
Ooh.
And I looked at her and she goes, think about it. When we took a step of faith, so many of our friends ran because they thought that we expected them to take a step of faith with us.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then he asked, what's the greatest thing you gain? And without hesitation, she said, relationships. Because now we have family that we can walk with. But what's one of the things that you had to give up by taking a look at Kathy?
Gosh, I think Kathy was right. I think it's, you're weird. I don't fit in a lot of places. I feel isolated at times. That's why I need faith-filled friends and colleagues. And I don't, people don't understand you. You're odd. You're out there. You talk about these great things that God has done, and they want to talk about the flowers at the women's tea or, you know, or something. Or they change the subject and you're talking about amazing things, people healed, churches planted, people never heard the name of Jesus, visions and dreams, all these things that God's doing. And
praise God.
And nobody wants to listen. The average Christian doesn't want to listen to you very long. Maybe it makes them feel guilty. I don't know what it is, but I always feel like a fish out of water sometimes and in certain circles. And so I think that's part of it. But, you know, I will say this. I was at a missions conference, and I was asked to speak at my home church, and there were about 50 missionaries in. And I asked every missionary at that conference this question. I didn't know the answer. I hope the answer was true. And I said,
"That's funny."
I said, "How many of you feel like you've given up anything compared to what you've gained in going in the Great Commission?" And all of them felt they'd given up nothing compared to what they had gained. And what I was trying to do for the church was, with all these missionaries standing and saying they'd given up nothing, was to help people realize, because people look at you and you kind of, if you're raising support, you kind of want them to think you're this poor person that needs support maybe. But, you know, as you're first starting out, and so all these people think, oh, you've given up so much for the kingdom. You've given up your job. You've given up wealth. You've given up whatever they think that you've given up. And I wouldn't trade 1 year for the last 38 years for anything that's worth what I've gained.
Amen.
Here on earth, the joy, the privilege, you know, it says you've been brought before governors and kings. The things you've seen, you know, and at the end of when they send the 70 out in Luke, he said, you know, governors and kings wish to see the things you have seen.
Wow.
And so on one level, yeah, you do give up some things, but what you gain, the vision of God, the power of God, the trust of God, the relationship with God and with other Christians that are swinging for the fences is way beyond anything you give up.
Yeah, I think about what we're sharing inside of here, and I had a moment with I rode with Doug to the studio today instead of riding with you, Dan, because it was a leap of faith to drive with you. So I was weak in faith, so I decided to ride with Doug instead of you today, and maybe that was fear, but. We had a moment,
where, faith over fear, my friend.
Right. So I realize I have to ride with you again. So maybe I'll gain more muscle in that regard that you'll build my
hilarious
faith, you know, but, the first time that I met Doug was like at an FTT, conference and, Curtis, connected us
right.
And, Doug did an interview, with me. So when I think about leaps of faith, and what you guys are just talking about, like I was an orphan, right? And I knew like I had no family that wanted to take me in after my mom died. And when I came to faith, I was still pretty well alone, like my entire life. And I gained a family. I gained and that was everything to me and has always been that.
Wow.
So I'm so grateful for that. I'm like, I'm not ever going to get over Jesus or like that. That's the we. Mm. So I do have a question in here, not just making fun of you, Dan, but even though that is, I do get a great deal of joy from that. But, you know, Ephesians 2 talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it says, for we are, not for I, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. Mm-hmm. So respect everybody here, like on the panel, Dan, all the things that you've shared, and Dory, getting to walk with her, and John, and Doug. So my question is this, is how do we get better, not individually, but collectively as disciples and churches? Because I think the enemy knows that it is through love and unity in John 17 that we might, that they might all be one, that the world might know the Father has sent the Son, that the whole meta narrative of the Bible is for everyone everywhere to know the Father has sent the Son. So how do we collectively, corporately, as the bride, as the body, as the building of Christ, how do we progress in taking leaps of faith? Because I think that is the culmination of the glory of God covering the earth as the water covers the sea. That's a big question, but I feel like you're up to it.
Wow. Deep respect, Dan.
You know, on that passage about the works that God put beforehand for us in 3:10 there in Ephesians.
2:10
in Ephesians. Thank you for correcting that.
we get paid to correct
this. We can edit that out.
No, it's awesome.
We have a role.
I had a mentor named Sumner Wimp, Dr. Sumner Wimp, and he said the tragedy of life isn't so much what happens to someone, but what they miss out on. And so, you know, there's all these good works God's created us to walk in that we get the choice. And sometimes I make a faith-filled choice, or sometimes I sin and don't take the, and I look back and think of the doors I've walked through or we've walked through. So number one, that's the personal side of the works that we each have that God's created for us. But you mentioned the we part of that, that passage. And I think that God is moving the body of Christ toward greater unity now than ever before in the history of the world. I know when Bill Bright was alive 15 years ago, he felt like it was increasing. So it feels like there's an increased, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like there's an increasing unity of the body of Christ where they're giving up their logos and their egos and they're coming together, and it's going faster and faster and faster, kind of like the birth pains. And I feel like as the speed of seeing people come to Christ is following that unity in John 17. But I would say one of the keys is believing the best about one another, and also have an accurate understanding that we're all broken people, that we all are going to sin, that there is going to be pain in that journey. We're not going to have perfect communication, but if we can believe the best, that we have the best motives, the best, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that we can work together somehow and loving one another in that journey. And picking one another up. I mean, this is a journey where the enemy is shooting all kinds of arrows at us, and Christians are known for killing their wounded. Mm-hmm. And we need to, when we fall, we need brothers and sisters to pick each other up, because we are going to fall. We're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. We are broken. Mm-hmm. But as we work together in that unity and that love and believing the best, I think that's how it starts. And it's relational. Mm-hmm. It's connecting. It's what's modeled here in this room with the different people giving of whatever we have as yours. And we're seeing more and more of that in the body of Christ, where people are just giving freely to one another to advance his kingdom.
Dan, do you think that this kind of stuff that we're talking about is something that can be learned by anybody, or you know, I'm picturing that scene. Which movie is it? You guys help me out. Where Indiana Jones is there with a book on the side of the cliff, and he's looking out across the gorge, and he sees there's no bridge, and you know he hears the voice of his dad in his mind, and remember that his dad has like just been hit, I think, by a gunshot, and mm-hmm. and the only way he can save his dad is to get across this gulf and get that. What is it? Something from the
Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. And he's got to get across to save this guy. And his dad is whispering, you know, back here. And Indiana Jones is hearing this in his mind. Only a whatever faith of a pure heart. Indiana Jones is standing there and the music crescendos. And he pulls his foot out. And then he just all of a sudden he says, okay, I'm just going to do this. And he falls forward with that foot, not knowing for sure there's anything in that gulf. Because he realizes, whatever I do, I've got to try to save my dad. But he believes so strongly. And of course, as you remember the movie, the camera swings and realizes there was a bridge there all along. It was just colored exactly the same color as the wall of the opposing part of the mm-hmm. gulf. So mm-hmm. he didn't see it, but the bridge was there all along. But how many people, Dan, can really just stand there and say, okay, I'm just going to step out into thin air, not knowing there's anything, and they just step? Is that something that can be learned? Or do you think that's a personality thing? What do you think?
I think it's that faith muscle.
Okay.
It's how big is that step? How deep is that chasm? And each time you take those small steps of faith, you build that faith muscle. Yeah. And and as you look back, like David said, I killed the lion and the bear. God will give you into my hand.
All right. Mm.
And so as you see God's faithfulness and you look back on your life and when you took those steps and you didn't know and he comes through, your faith muscle grows, and the more and more you use it, the greater it grows. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you can't take a big giant step of faith at some point before you build all those muscles. But I think it's as you look in Scripture, mm-hmm. you see that faithfulness of God. Jonathan and the armor bearer going up and taking on the Philistines.
Yeah.
You know, King Jehoshaphat with the great multitude that coming, mm-hmm. and he sends out in front of him the worshipers, but he gets on his face and he seeks God, and God gives him a direction, and he steps in that direction. There's a hearing mm-hmm. God's voice too that you learn. Is it God? Is it not? Is it me? Is it my flesh? Mm-hmm. All those things are kind of a journey of discovery as we grow in that. Yeah. I think
how you were saying, like, you know, you wanted to see the best in people and in situations, like, because what I learned about hope, having hope, is that hope is to know where you're going, and to know that you actually have options to get there. Like mm-hmm. if like this morning we were trying to get to one road and it's, you know, like a wrong way, and then we try to go to another one and it's blocked, you know. But like, no matter how many times you have to go around, you know, I'm going to get there. Right? So then having the flexibility, and also the third one is like to believe that mm-hmm. I can do it and we can do it together.
Amen.
That's mm-hmm. the hope. And it's not something that you can just have, like, you know, earlier we were talking about faith. It's something that you have to learn. It's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question to you is that what hope do you have? We in the future.
Hmm. Or do you?
Oh, I.
He sees the best in everybody, so he, I think he does.
I don't see the steps.
You know, I think it's the body of Christ coming together. I have naturally been given this love of people and believing the best and almost a Pollyanna view of people. And, and I know that's a gift from God. And I know others are more critical and they bring various things in and we need each other.
Amen.
And we need, and so if that's something that I am, I'm constantly trying to work with I'm always in like diplomatic situations, helping people see the best in each other and trying to resolve so we can move forward. Mm. The peacemaker, if you will, trying to remove roadblocks in relational connections so that we can move forward. Well, that's a gift that mm-hmm. I know that the Lord's called me to be a part of. And there's other gifts in the body that we use. So if you have that hope, then share it. And faith is hope in the unseen. And so you're encouraging others with your gifts. You're trying to help one another, I think.
This reminds me of a really cool story I've got to share. I serve as a leader of this organization. So sometimes I'll parachute into a field where one of our team leaders is trying to get over a barricade. I remember once one of our team leaders, not going to mention which country or which one, just so that it doesn't come across, you know, in the wrong light. But I got there and he had been prayer walking around this very poor area of the city for, I guess, months. And he would always walk around the perimeter, you know, prayer walking. And this had been months. And that day I said, well, I'd like to go with you on this walk. And so I did. I prayer walked with him and we finished up and I thought it was really great. I finally, as we were starting to go, I said his name and said, do you ever think about just walking into the poor area and just seeing if you can make a friend? And he said, well, yeah, I'm waiting for the right time. I said, well, let's just do this right now. And he said, you know, I'm just a little bit nervous about it because I don't want to come across in the wrong light. I said, well, I'll just go in. I'm here as a visitor. If I mess up, then it's not going to be on you. Okay, if you want to do that. So I walked in. The first guy I met was standing beside this old burning, you know, campfire of boots and trash. And I just introduced myself to the guy. This is a Spanish-speaking area. And I had, you know, worked in some Spanish field. I said, so I just thought I'd come here and ask, is there anything I can pray for you about? Oh, he said, that's what that guy's been doing. I said, which guy? This guy's been walking around our place for months. He's been walking around. I thought, did he work for the government? Some social system, you know, what's he been doing? He's been praying for us all along, you know? And so I went and got my buddy and brought him and introduced it to. All it took was just walking in and saying hi. You know, it's like sometimes so in a way, believe in the best. You just blunder into it, huh? You know?
I think so, but yet also it takes some outside perspective.
Yeah.
And so we've all been stuck where we haven't had perspective and we, you know, we see the,
you're right,
the wind and the
you
rain.
You laid
the
groundwork
waves,
with those months of prayer.
And then,
you know,
someone came along and said, can you do that? You know, and it may be, it's just different gifts playing out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I found that I kept trying to train some of my staff members to go to places to find key leaders to connect with, to be able to plant multiplying churches. And I kept telling them how to do it and they'd kept coming back and I got frustrated with them. And I realized, no, that's a gift that I have. And so if I go in and connect the dots and meet the leaders and set it up, the other gifts that come along are better than mine.
That's true.
To be able to take it to the next level and to be able to come alongside. And
he did. That became the first church. That became the first church in that land, this guy. And that became, so you're absolutely right. Good point.
But it's just you know, your perspective, you came in, he was a little too close to it. Yeah. You saw the forest for the trees. And yet I'll bet he came in there and was very faithful inside that village.
Years afterward, planted churches there and multiplied.
So I think, I don't know if it was one of the M's or not. I can't remember all the M's now. But, so I'm hoping model was one of them.
Model was one of them.
So good guess. Mm-hmm. So we can't be any more spiritual than we are scriptural, I think. So Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith will look like something. There will be a model of what that is. It goes on to talk about the faith of Abel, who being dead yet speaketh. So in other words, the faith of the models that have gone before us, for us, the legacy, the heritage of faith that people have left. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we're coming to the end of this, okay? But I think we need to model what it looks like to move from faith to faith in prayer for one another, and to pray giant prayers, to dream giant dreams.
Good stuff, Lee. Good stuff.
To say to the mountains of evil that oppose the kingdom of God to be cast into the sea.
Amen.
And we have the opportunity to do this with modern tools, okay, to share with our viewers and our listeners.
I want to thank you guys. I'm speaking at commencement 2 weeks at the university where I graduated. You just gave me my whole speech.
Amen.
Thank you guys. You saved me a lot of time.
Amen.
So it's like at the end, but it's the beginning.
Mm.
It's not the end. It's the beginning.
Mm.
And if we can look at it that way, and I don't know how we want to do this, but
do
I feel
it.
Like
giant
it's,
prayer. Pray for him, pray for us.
Yes. And before you pray, let me just throw one last thought in. And that is, I learned this lesson rock climbing, and it's a commitment move. So I was climbing up this cliff. There were no more handholds. And I was being held up by a belayer, by a rope, and the person up on the mountain said, jump over there. Now, I had nothing left in my body. I was totally exhausted because I kept trying to get up this mountain. And I said, jump over there. And there's just a small little handholds, and I could see them, and there's a little foothold. And I had to trust the person that was the more seasoned climber and that they would hold the rope, that I could jump there. And I jumped, and fortunately I was able to get to the side of the mountain and climb up. Well, I think in faith often it's taking those leaps of faith, whatever it is, whether it's a small jump, a big jump, wherever your muscles will allow you to go. And so as we pray for our listeners and for ourselves and trusting a giant God who can do amazing things, as we pray, let's pray that God will show us what the next commitment move is, and that as the disciples said, ask Jesus, increase our faith. That God would increase our faith to take those commitments to move forward in faith, from faith to faith.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so this is the direction I was going to go, Dory. So I in submission, but Dan, why don't you pray?
That's what I was thinking.
Why don't you pray that prayer for us?
Yeah.
Have you memorized prayers from Josh McDowell? You can just pray something.
Wow, yes. You're a commodian today, man. Like, wow, this is good stuff.
So pray for us, bro.
Yes. Father, we worship you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who has saved David out of Goliath's hands, who gave David the strength, who gave Jonathan. Throughout Scripture, we see all these models of faith in Jesus. And like Jesus, we say, increase our faith. Lord, we know that one day people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are going to worship at your throne. Mm-hmm. We know that you prayed for us in John 17 mm-hmm. that we would be one so mm-hmm. the world would know. Father, we join you in that prayer
Amen.
Of unity for ourselves and for our brethren. And Lord, as our listeners are here and they're thinking, I pray you'd put one step of faith in their heart and mind, that they would write down one step. Take a moment now, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a step of faith that would advance your kingdom for your Amen. Glory, not for their own, that would see people, men, women, and children come to faith somehow. Give them Amen. That thought, whether it's a giant leap, whatever faith you give them, increase their faith to the next level, to take that commitment, to stand firm, knowing that your Spirit is leading and guiding, and that they would have perseverance in advancement of that. Lord, I pray that for each of us right now in our own walk, where we're at, in the various things that we're facing, that you would give us faith, increase our faith for your glory, for the advancement Amen. Of your kingdom. Father, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Dan.
How are you making more disciples? What problems have you encountered? What successes have you celebrated? What questions do you have? Share your stories with us by visiting moredisciples.com/contact. If you're looking for next steps on growing your ability to make and multiply disciples, visit moredisciples.com to find resources, tools, and events all designed to help you make more disciples.